This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, radio by us, for us.
Radio made by us.
Made by us, for us.
That's right.
There you go, Macca.
Our next guest, our current guest, is Jeff Sparrow. Jeff is an author and broadcaster, and he's written a book called Trigger Warnings, Political Correctness and the Rise of the Right. I've got to say...
great title.
Jeff, title, and your timing is perfect because I think politics in Australia, and I travel a lot for my job, politics has really got toxic. It is toxic on the left, but much more toxic, I think, on the right, and in terms of some of the ridiculous positions they take, but the harmful positions that they take. And we only have to look at, President Dump and, sorry, Trump, to...
I see what you did there.
to look at that. But also, in Australia, whether it's... climate change, whether it's gender whisperers, the rise of the right is pretty disturbing, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. Waking up this morning and this astonishing nonsense in Sydney about the Sydney Opera House having to put up racehorse promotions on its sale because Alan Jones says it's a good thing to do. Yeah, I agree. It's very toxic time.
He just rang GLAAD. I'm just going to ring GLAAD, and in 3 minutes, and it'll all be done.
So, Jeff, what's going on? Why is our democracy in such a state of flux?
That's quite a question for 10 o'clock on 10:46 on a Saturday morning. Well, this book came out of the 2016 Trump election, which I think was a bit of a watershed moment, a bit of a wake up call for lots of people, and I was struck by the role that the rhetoric of so called political correctness played in that election, not just that it became a rallying cry for the right, both in America and, if you remember, Pauline Hanson's return to the Senate was very much around similar issues. It wasn't just that, though. It was just that it was also that we no longer seem to have, if we ever had, a common understanding of exactly what political correctness was supposed to be. There was an interesting op-ed by the NBA basketball legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the course of that election where he said political correctness is just etiquette. Yes. It's just politeness. It's about...
Yes. And respect.
Correct.
That was his take on it. And, of course, at the same time, the people around Trump were positing political correctness as a kind of totalitarian ideology, the worst menace to democracy. And so I was kind of curious, well...
Extreme leftism or something.
That's right. This sort of totalitarian philosophy that was the most pressing threat to the Republic. And so I was kind of curious how we got to this position, not simply where there was a polarisation, but where the left and right no longer found each other comprehensible.
And in our own country, we see it with the Gulf, both within the government and I think... You only have to then look at the US or the UK, with Brexit, with Theresa May, and Trump and this nomination of Kavanaugh, that behaviour by the right, and I actually struggle to think about equal examples by the left, I'm sure there are some, but behaviour by the right in taking positions, if you'd said to you 5 years ago, you're going to see senators in the Senate in the US... basically arguing and saying, we don't really know whether she was sexually assaulted or not. He's a good man. He's a good judge. Let's just nominate him. I mean, and the President of the United States attacking a woman who's come forward, and a number of women have come forward and made these allegations.
That's almost without precedent.
Yet it seems... not to me, but it seems okay.
Yeah, it's extraordinary and unedifying times. But, I mean, even
trying to get your head around what political correctness means is kind of a useful exercise in and of itself. So most people would say if, for instance, somebody lost their job at a university for, I don't know, using an Islamophobic phrase, they would say this quintessential political correctness. Perhaps this happens. It's very hard to think of an example where this has actually taken place, but the most common cause of people losing their jobs or their careers in Australia in recent times is for people commenting about Anzac Day. And you can think of about five or six immediate examples of, you know, Scott McIntyre at SBS, Yasmin Abdul-Mageed, a whole series of people. Is that political correctness? And, of course, it's never described as political correctness. And to understand why that is, understand why this term political correctness is something which is only ever applied to the left, I think you have to go back and look at the history of where the phrase emerges from. And that's what I try to do in the book. I mean, one of the interesting things, and maybe a lot of your listeners probably know this, but the term political correctness was originally a joke phrase on the left.
Yes.
So, you know, the Australian equivalent was ideologically sound. I don't know, maybe some of you people are old enough to remember this, but it used to be, you know, a gag. You'd say that movie's not ideologically sound. It didn't actually mean that you had some programmatic document as to what movie should be. It was just like a joke saying people should lighten up a little bit. And so the construction of this discourse of anti-PC is something that happens in the Reagan era in the US.
And of course, John Howard here.
John Howard here, taking it directly from America. But it's kind of interesting to look back to the American example in the 80s, because even though some of the rhetoric is exactly the same, a lot of the rhetoric is entirely reversed. So today, when people go on about political correctness, it's usually phrased in terms of an opposition to the inner city elites. It's anti-elitist. If you go back and look at the Reaganite version of it, it's pro-elitism explicitly. The whole point is that the university is no longer elitist enough because all these crazy ideas.
That's right. All these people.
So Jeff, you know, to be non-politically correct really means that you are being rude or disrespectful in some way.
I'm not sure that the term really has a meaning outside a particular historical kind of context. So what I try to do in the book is trace the history of the right's adoption of the term, but also the changes that have taken place on the left that has made it very difficult for the left to resist these kinds.
Yeah, because in terms of our communities, you know, I often hear discourse, especially amongst some of the older people who are uncomfortable with talking about trans and gender diversity. And, you know, people who are in that space say, just talk to us in a respectful way. Now, that's not being politically correct. That's just being respectful.
Respectful.
Yeah, that's right. I think there is a strange process that has taken place, however, where the right has been able to weaponize this discourse, particularly a discourse around things like freedom of speech. For instance, this was, I mean, if you think of the campaigns against censorship in Australia and in the United States, these were campaigns that were led by radicals on the left. People went to jail fighting for free speech, and every step of the way, it was the right who was arguing for more censorship. Again, that's really interesting to look at the...
But now they're arguing for less.
That's right. If you go back to that Reagan era in which this discourse of anti-PC emerges, Ronald Reagan was elected for the second term promising more censorship. So this idea that the discourse of anti-PC is a discourse of opposition to censorship. It's if you went back in a time machine and put that to the Reaganite era, well, they were all about like trying to ban Robert Mapplethorpe.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
No, it was this idea that the left was obscene and we need to crack down on this stuff. So it is a long and a strange history, and I don't think you can really come to grips with where some of these debates are at without engaging with that historical process by which words have lost a lot of their original meaning.
Wow.
And, you know, the thing is, if Reagan was standing now for nomination, the Republican Party wouldn't nominate him.
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting example. I mean, I think you can see elements of Trumpism going back through the American right. You know, you think of the Sarah Palin, for instance.
Yes, yes.
You know, and this idea of you put this photogenic figure who just babbles nonsense. Well, you know, I'm old enough to remember a little bit of Reaganism. Ronald Reagan was very good at just standing up and babbling nonsense.
And he was, and you know, he would actually imagine things that or parts that he'd played in a movie or a theme in a movie actually became history.
Yes.
It wasn't real,
yes,
but it was his reality. And you know, with Trump, his reality is that, you know, the small group of people that he talks to, you know, he and the television he watches, that's what informs him. Everything outside that, you know, it's all a plot. It's all.
I find it astonishing, Macca, fake news. I find it astonishing that abuse and disrespect has now become the norm that comes out of that politic. I just find it astonishing. What do you think?
Yes. Well, yes, except that if you look back to this supposed golden age of civility that people talk about, the Menzies era, there was a lot of abuse around then. I mean, you think of, you know, the early phases of the civil rights struggle. You know, the right would just openly deploy the N-word. Mm. There was no, you know...
Yeah.
Likewise with the, you know... the Stonewall era gay liberation movement. Yeah. There was no civility around then. So it's partly a question of how we respond to this as well. So, you know.
So I want to say to people, you know, I love books, hard copy books. You can get it as an e-book too.
You can, yeah.
That's a shame because I don't like e-books.
Oh, well, you don't have to.
I don't have, but Trigger Warnings, Political Correctness and the Rise of the Right by Jeff Sparrow. And
where's it available from, Jeff?
Yeah. It's out through Scribe, it's in any good bookshop.
Cool.
It's a good read. Even if you're an old tragic of the left, you should read it. And even if you're a new tragic of the right, you should do it. And I have a suggestion.
Even if you're an old tragic of the right,
too. An old tragic of the right.
just an old altogether.
And, you know, on a closing thing, I want Alan Jones to advocate for Clubs New South Wales to actually project images onto the Anzac Memorial on Anzac Day.
Yeah, bingo results.
You know, just get on the phone to GLAD. I'm sure she can make it happen, Alan. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9.
Radio made by us.
For us.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.